Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been discussing the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. I've pointed this out before that in the first section of this study, it was a long series of messages, in fact, in the first section of this study, we simply examined many of the passages of Scripture dealing with the Holy Spirit. And the reason I spent so much time examining these passages in the Gospels and in the Epistles is because there is so much misunderstanding today concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. Many people have gotten off into false teaching concerning Him. You see things on television and in other ways that are strange and have no relationship whatsoever to the Scriptures. And so many of these things surprise us and they even frighten us. And so many times Christians who don't follow these practices will be afraid of the very subject of the Holy Spirit. And God never intended it should be this way. He intended that from the very beginning we would follow Him correctly and scripturally, that we would depend upon the Holy Spirit in the same way, and that the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be a key factor in our lives as we live in this world. It was never God's intention that we should simply in our salvation be only looking forward to heaven itself. It was God's intention that until we would actually go to heaven, we would be living here on this earth for the glory of the Lord Jesus. And we would be living here on this earth victorious lives with the help of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you to get into this subject from a scriptural and a correct standpoint. Now, in the second part of this series, we have delved more deeply into several of the topics that were discussed in these passages we examined first. We were talking about these topical studies from the standpoint of how the Holy Spirit now works in the lives of believers. First one we considered was the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our individual walk and in the body of believers itself. We pointed out how important this is, and I don't want to go into this subject again with you, but it's a subject that is much misunderstood. And many Christians have gifts which they're neither using nor even wanting to use. In other words, they simply feel helpless and inadequate as far as the lives of others are concerned, and therefore they never really trust God and ask God to help them use the gifts He has given them with the help of the Holy Spirit. So we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. Then the second subject we talked about was evangelism. We were trying to point out and to emphasize our true place in evangelism, the fact that we are just human instruments. We are important in the work of God. God uses human instrumentality, but that's all we are. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that works in our lives first of all, and then works in the lives of those to whom we witness. And so as human instruments, we have an important place in the work of God. But I am not the one who gets someone saved. It's the Holy Spirit who works through my life and then works in the life of the person to save them. And therefore, as a human instrument, I give the glory back to God. I'm thankful every time someone comes to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and trusts Him as their Savior from sin and are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. But I recognize the glory belongs to the Lord Himself. Then the third subject we talked about was the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our study, understanding, and application of the Word of God. Now this has to do with our personal walk with the Lord. It's so very important, not only as we understand the truth ourselves, and perhaps even as we teach it to other people, but it's so very important that we understand that the Holy Spirit is the one who opens and illuminates God's Word to us. Now, He does not inspire us to write new revelations. There are no new revelations coming from God, contrary to the teaching of some who claim to have new revelations. There are no new revelations. God's revelation in the Old and the New Testament is complete. And in fact, there's a curse placed on anyone at the end of the book of Revelations who would add to or take away from it. So sometimes you read books written by men in the false cults where they claim they've had new revelations from God. They've gone against God's word in even daring to say such a thing. It's like a blasphemy against God to say that his word is not adequate for our needs. And so as we come to God, we also ourselves now need to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit concerning his word. So that is the third thing we talked about. And then the fourth thing we talked about is this idea of our growth in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We took this from 2 Peter, of course. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we grow? And what is a means by which we grow? We pointed out, first of all, as we began this last point in our study, we pointed out, first of all, that the Holy Spirit makes Jesus the focus of our lives. Jesus himself had taught this, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be to teach concerning himself, to lead them into truth concerning himself, and then to glorify himself in the lives of those who would trust him and follow him. So we've been talking about this over a period of several messages. And I want to continue our study of this today. We've talked about victory in the Christian life. We've talked about the fruits of the Spirit. But now I want to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 and 11. And in this passage, and of course also we could study it from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. In fact, I'll be referring to this in a few moments. But in this section of Scripture from Philippians 4, he is dealing with ways the Holy Spirit helps us in the difficulties of life, how the Holy Spirit takes us through the difficulties of life. Now, at the time from when Philippians was written, the Apostle Paul was in prison. For 2 years, when he went to Rome in Acts chapter 28, for 2 years he had been in a hired house. But apparently in 60 AD, now he is put in a prison cell. The Romans themselves now have imprisoned him. Before they gave him some freedom, but now no more. And Paul is under very difficult circumstances, perhaps the most difficult circumstances anyone could imagine. I remember when I worked for some years up in Shanghai, China. It was my privilege to meet one of the three famous men of China in the last century. And his name was Wang Mingdao. Wang Mingdao was a great Christian. He was known as the John the Baptist of China. I knew him for about 6 years between the time when he was 85 years old and when he was 91 years old. This man had spent 23 years in prison for the sake of Christ. It was a desire of the communist Chinese to imprison those who were the leaders so that the people who followed them would despair and perhaps would give up. This was their idea. It was the same idea the Jews had followed in the book of Acts when they tried to imprison Peter and John and others, hoping they could cause the believers to despair. But this man remained faithful to the Lord. With the help of the Holy Spirit, he remained completely faithful to the Lord. So you talk about difficulty. I've never gone through difficulties such as he experienced, where he was in chains in prison for 23 years. But he came out of it victorious for Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul's life was difficult. He was in a prison cell. People had deserted him. Some people had stood with him, but many people had deserted him. And so when we talk about the difficulties of life, his life would be an example. You see the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul speaks of all the times he had been beaten for the sake of Christ, times he'd been in prison, times he'd been shipwrecked. In other words, this man had experienced every possible difficulty of life. Now, what I want to emphasize in this message, in the few minutes remaining, is the fact that God takes us through every difficulty of life. There are those who teach that when we become Christians, things are just wonderful for us. In other words, that the difficulties are all taken care of. And this, of course, is complete nonsense. The Christian goes through difficulties just like any unsaved person does. And we have sorrow in our lives. We have sometimes financial problems. We have other difficulties coming into our lives which we do not welcome and which are very painful as far as our lives are concerned. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to take us through the difficulties of life. And so it's very important that we understand that the Holy Spirit is indwelling us for many, many purposes, and one of the purposes is to take us through the difficulties of life. Now, I want to say very frankly that probably you and I will never face the same types of difficulties that the Apostle Paul faced, or the Christians of that time faced, or even the Christians of China. I was just touching upon the lives of many of these people of China, but I wasn't suffering as they were. Many of these people of China whom I met in the 17 years, I would go up into Shanghai just 4 months a year for those 17 years, but in those 17 years, I was privileged to meet many of these people, including Wang Mingdao. But I would never have gone through some of these difficulties they faced, but nevertheless, I have still faced difficulties, and so have you. No matter what your life might be, there will always be some difficulties in our lives. Now, these may be caused by the circumstances we face. They may be caused by the people we deal with in life, or the problems God permits to enter into our own lives, such as sickness, sorrow, lack of sufficient finances, and other problems. And every Christian is going to experience some of these. Young people will experience some of these. Loss of friends, rejection by others, and so forth. Now we note the experience of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me come back to this passage now. We just mentioned it before, but let's note the experience he faced. Paul had received some special revelations from God. We don't know exactly what these were. In fact, Paul doesn't tell us exactly what these revelations were. But he experienced some special revelations from God. And these were a wonderful blessing in his life. But at the same time, God permitted, in order that he might not exalt himself because of these revelations, God permitted some physical ailment to afflict him. Apparently, it was a very serious ailment. We don't know exactly what it was. It could have been epilepsy or almost anything, but some serious ailment afflicted him. Now, Paul records that this ailment was so severe and it afflicted him so badly, and it affected him so badly, that he prayed earnestly and repeatedly that God would remove it from him. Now, he expected God to remove it. In other words, this thing is unreasonable, he must have thought in the beginning. It is something I cannot live with. And so, please, please, God, remove this affliction from me. But God's answer to him was perhaps not the answer he would have chosen. But God's answer to him was he would not remove it, but he would give him the grace, that is the strength, to live victoriously with this ailment present in his life. So this grace would be for him and would be sufficient for him. He would not have any need to worry about this. Now what would happen is this, and what did happen in his life is this. Paul then joyfully accepted this answer from God, and this brought him to greater dependence and trust in his relationship with the Lord. In other words, it enriched his life, even though he felt this terrible, terrible weakness, and perhaps even was despised by the Corinthians, as he writes to them now, they've been looking down on him for various reasons. Perhaps they even despised him because of this ailment in his life. But Paul could joyfully receive God's answer that God gave, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, it would be through the presence of God in his life by the indwelling Holy Spirit that this grace or this strength would be supplied. We have pointed out when we've studied other books that the word grace is not just saving grace, but it's strengthening grace that God gives. And that's the grace that God promised him in 2 Corinthians 12. "My strength will be enough for you. Daily I will give you the strength that you need to live your life, to live it victoriously in spite of the presence of this weakness in your life, this physical ailment, whatever it was." And so the Apostle Paul could go on in his life, again, with greater dependence upon God. Now, Jesus also seems to include this in his teaching about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. I don't want to go into this passage with you because our time is almost gone. But I want to simply point out that Jesus said that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit would be to come alongside us and help us and lift us up as we live the Christian lives. This seems to be this strengthening grace that he's talking about there, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so God's means of supplying the strength would be through the Holy Spirit. Now, how does this apply to your life? It's understandable that we will go through the difficulties of life. You need to face this. The difficulties of life will come. You may pray that they will never come, but they are going to come. You will have some difficulties in life. But we thank the Lord and we praise the Lord that we're not alone. In other words, that God has provided the means of our going through these difficulties of life, of having complete victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and of rejoicing in spite of the difficulties we go through. So this grace supplied by the indwelling Holy Spirit is just as much available today to us as it was in the life of the Apostle Paul. And so in our lives, we simply call upon God, God, today, give me the strength to go through this difficulty. Not only provide the answer, but give me the strength to go through it. Because sometimes the answer may be delayed, or it may be different from what we expected, just as it was in the life of the Apostle Paul. It wasn't the removal of the problem, but rather it was a grace to go through it. So as we live in the midst of the mountains of life, if you want to use that phrase, we call upon the grace of God for our daily strength, and we can live victoriously and we can live joyously. So whatever your needs might be today, I want to encourage you to depend upon God for your strength and for the grace that he supplies. And may the Lord bless you, each one.